There was this girl in eighth grade who wanted me to sit at her lunch table.
Yeah.
She's like, you should really sit next to me at my lunch table.
Okay.
I told her no.
Welcome back, everybody. We're happy to have you back on the podcast. You know, the podcast is kind of like the abusive boyfriend. You always say, you know, this is the last episode, but you always come back. I'm Drew.
You would know a lot about that, wouldn't you?
I would.
Yeah.
I'm Dean. I figured.
I'm Tony, unfortunately.
All right, Tony. What in the last week since we've met last Wednesday, what's one cool thing or one good thing you learned in the last week that you're like, huh, that's pretty cool that I learned that?
You know, there's actually, there's 9 numbers between 1 and 9.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Did you know that?
I didn't.
Wow.
New piece of information for you. It's like I'm a freaking encyclopedia over here.
How about you, Drew? I learned that the world is in a constant state of decay. So if you don't take care of your things, then they're just going to decay. It's like how you don't brush your teeth, they'll fall out of your skull.
Yeah.
Clean your room, it's only going to get dirtier. Like if you don't put gas in your car, it's only going to go down. Like nothing ever gets better over time. It only gets worse unless you take care of it. So.
So then what's the point then? Like, what's the point to it all?
To take care of your things and to make sure that your areas of life are all taken care of and clean and neat and tidy and well-functioning.
Define well-functioning.
Healthy. Yeah, like, you think about your life in, like, physical, spiritual, financial, orderly. So, like, is your room clean?
Mm-hmm.
Financial, are you bringing in money? Physical, are you going to the gym? You staying healthy? Spiritual, whatever that means to you. All those things, make sure that those things are always in order. What about you, Dean?
Well, I feel like, just to piggyback onto you, I feel like upkeeping your areas of life also gives you sort of a purpose. And it all kind of goes hand in hand with each other.
Yeah, it's kind of like your life's like a kingdom, and you're the king. And you have to take care of all your factions, or your kingdom will fall down. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. I actually would like to change my answer.
What was that?
I've learned that disappointment is inevitable.
That is true.
And I've also learned, it's like a funny thing in life. It's like, the more you care about something, the more you try to protect it, the more likely it is to get hurt or injured or broken. It just doesn't matter, like, what it is. Well, it's like, the harder you try at something, it seems like the worse result you get.
Well, I also feel like the more you care, the more you're going to become anxious about said thing, and it ultimately leads to the decay of whatever you are trying to upkeep. So if you're sitting there and caring way too much about something, you're overthinking every step. You're constantly trying to decide, you know, how it could possibly go wrong.
True.
You're ultimately either going to set yourself up for failure, or you're going to not even go through with it in the first place because you've ran through every possible bad scenario before you've even given yourself a chance.
You know what's crazy is that you took that from that. And I was talking about my mom knocking over one of my VHS tapes onto the floor.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny. I thought that's where you were going with that. But nah, if you care so much about something, it's good to care, but if you care too much, it's a bad thing.
Yeah, because you're gonna get hurt. You know,
yeah,
like you said, disappointment's inevitable, so.
Right.
I don't know.
You just gotta be like.
Excuse me.
You just gotta be like, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. You gotta ride life like a wave, like Tony said.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're surfing, sometimes you're drowning, and there's no in between. You'll never perfectly surf every single wave. You're gonna wipe out sometimes. You gotta get back up.
I know, or
a shark will eat you. And that's not cool.
You know what's cool?
So,
sharks.
Sharks are cool.
I mean, that's kind of like an odd thing, but like, you ever think about how we eat seafood? Right? Like, eat fish, eat a lobster, eat a crab.
Yeah.
But aren't those, like, insects of the sea? And it's like, you won't eat a beetle?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of weird.
You ever think about how a bear wakes up in the morning and doesn't have to, you know, pay taxes, go to a 9-to-5, provide food for his family, but he does that by the only purpose he has in his life, which is providing for his family.
Civilization is a scam.
I think we have made society so hard for ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, remember Mr. Walsh, our ninth grade AP World teacher.
How could I forget?
You could never forget. Back in AP World, ninth grade, freshman year, he told us 10,000 years ago, humans, I think, were somewhere between 70 and 80% happier consistently because we didn't have to wake up and crank a 9-to-5 and worry about, you know, bills and mortgages and all this other extra stuff. All we had to do was wake up, find some food, make some art, make some music. And then we went to bed and just did it all the next day.
And it was okay.
It was beautiful.
It was all just life.
You know what I thought about? It's like, because people are like, well, the modern world, it's like medicine, you know, cars. I mean, there's all these advantages and everything. I go back to the one about medicine all the time because it's like, after like what, 50, 55 maybe, things start to like go downhill medically for most people.
Depending on how well you take care of yourself and what you're predisposed to, yeah.
Right. But my thought is that the medicine prolongs your life after your reasonable death.
Yeah.
Because people probably realistically can live to like 60 on their own. 60 to 80, like, you know, we'll just say 50 is like the average age that humans could survive without any medical treatment whatsoever.
Yeah.
So anything past that is just prolonged. So we keep prolonging life, which, you know, creates an economic problems because people are living too long. There's too many people on the planet.
Yeah.
And it creates, you know, pollution problems and XYZ list of everything else. But it's like, I don't know, would you rather trade living 40 more, we'll say 20 more really crappy years versus living 40 healthy, happy years?
Yeah, well, it depends.
You know, because I'd rather live to 45 years old, a happy life every day, versus living to 85 and being miserable for 90% of it.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
I guess it depends who you are and how healthy how you upkeep yourself up to that point of life.
Yeah.
Well, sure, but it's just like a generic thing.
I mean, there's people out there that are in their 70s and they're perfectly healthy, and they don't need any attention. So, I mean, it all depends on how you – if you're drinking water and you're exercising and you're in shape and your body fat's low and you're not consuming a ton of sugar and you're just doing the – even just the bare minimum to just keep yourself healthy, you'll live up to 65, 70, just a perfectly healthy life, unless something unfortunate happens.
Which is what I'm saying. People years ago did live to that point, but it was just less common because – you know, put it this way. The person who lived to 75 200 years ago could live to 75 today.
Yeah.
You know, it's just because that person did take care of themselves and they just had, you know, good genetics or whatever and whatnot that just helped them live to that age.
Yeah, sometimes you can't control,
right?
You know, how you go. Like genetics, you can't control any of that. But, you're right. It depends on how happy you are throughout your life. And if it's 45 happy years, I'd rather take that because – I mean, you're right. People do prolong their life with medication. They'll live to 95, 100 years old, but they're just like in a wheelchair and, you know, can't think for themselves anymore.
Yeah, so why would you want to be here for that?
Why are you still here? If that's ignorant, I'm sorry. But like, I mean, think about if you're that person. All you do is you wake up and people feed you and you just kind of get wheeled around and that's it. Like,
to me, that's just not something that I'd want to live to experience.
No, you just have no purpose anymore.
No.
Nothing you can do.
Yeah. I think one of the greatest downfalls of our current state of the world is constant stimulation from phones, computers, just technology in general. Because if you think about it, like you said, 10,000 years ago, your purpose was finding a non-poisonous berry, like something to eat, like a deer or something.
Find food.
Yeah. And then when you found that deer or that berry, you got a rush of just happiness because it's like you just completed your task for the day.
Right.
Like it didn't come to you. You went to it. And so now you've got constant notifications and attention seeking and all sorts of stuff happening on our phones. And it's conditioned us to a certain extent to just wait for something to happen as opposed to going out and creating stuff. It just, you know, you sit there, you wait for your phone to buzz. And it's actually been something that I've been trying to monitor lately because sometimes I find myself in that position of just waiting for something to happen. So now I've really been trying to cut back on time spent on like Instagram or texting or whatever it is and just really focus on creating something or doing something or actually putting my mind to something. You know, there's nothing wrong with being on your phone and being on Instagram or texting somebody, but if it's something you do all day, every day, and you're just sitting there waiting for it to happen, it becomes a really unhealthy habit.
Yeah, because like you said, you're constantly waiting.
Well, yeah.
I'm always waiting for something. And when it doesn't happen, then you're sad.
Yeah. When nothing happens because you didn't do anything and you waited for something to happen, you get anxious, upset. And it's just not a healthy lifestyle.
think like phones and social media are the devil.
I've heard that a lot before. You know, people call phones like pocket devils.
Yeah, yeah, it's a blessing and a curse, no doubt. It's really got its advantages, but it also, if you use it a lot or incorrectly, it can condition you to become a sad person.
I mean, that's true. That's the big reason why I never downloaded Snapchat, for example. Like, it's not because I'm trying to make a statement. Oh, look at me. I don't have it. Like, I'm different. It's mainly because I just know I'm happier without it. And I've gone this long without it.
Oh, yeah. There's no reason you need that. Right. You know, it's kind of useless. If you think about it, all social media is pretty much useless.
Yeah.
TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook. Just about everything you can think of is pretty much useless.
I mean, yeah, it's nice to catch up with people, and it's nice to see, you know, how people are doing, but for the most part, it's really unhealthy, especially now, like, we've talked about hustle culture before, and these, you know, we'll say relationship gurus, you know, Instagram, like, top three things that, you know, women need in men, or they won't like you, and it's like, you know, you don't have to believe that stuff, but you're still consuming it all the time.
It conditions you to have low self-esteem, and it conditions you to not find purpose. You instead just wait for it to happen.
Yeah.
And it creates really sad people, unmotivated people, and people who have no confidence in themselves because they've been told that they're not good enough to do whatever they want to do. Yeah. Unless they're jacked, have tattoos, drive nice cars. You know, that's what women or people in general really want from you. And if you don't have those things, then good luck to you.
You know, I mean, six figures by 21, then, you know, you're screwed in life and you're never going to find love. And, you know, no one likes you anymore.
You know, I know you deleted Instagram, right? I did. You know, I haven't been going on there like recently. I don't know if it's been like the past 2-3 weeks or something. I just haven't been going on there. It's like I open it up if I do go on, and it's like I get through 5 posts. I'm like, man, there's just nothing I want to see on here.
There's just nothing
to look at. I don't care about any of this.
I can tell you firsthand, I've been without it now for a few weeks, and honestly, I've been a lot happier without it because I've gotten rid of it before where I just get rid of it off my phone, but then I found myself going on Safari and still, like, you know, checking up on things.
Yeah.
But now my account's gone. It's not there anymore, so I can't check it. So it's gotten rid of that, like Dean said, that conditioning of waiting for things to happen and seeing other people doing things and all that. Now it's not there anymore. There's no more stimulation from that. So I can tell you firsthand, I've been a lot happier. I've been in a lot better mood. There's nothing that can ruin my mood now off of Instagram.
The only thing that I think about is that I do talk to people on there.
Just grab their number.
I don't have a lot of their numbers. And a lot of people are weird about numbers. You ever notice that?
Yeah. It's because numbers actually have value.
That's true.
DM them and say, like, hey, man, I'm getting rid of Instagram.
Yeah.
Just if you want to talk to me, you know, even just give them your phone number and say, hey, just shoot me a text. And if they don't shoot me a text, then don't water a dead plant.
Right.
Move on.
That's true. I mean, I was really thinking about, like, the 2 or 3 group chats that I occasionally respond to.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, if they don't have your number, give it to them. And if they don't text you, then screw them. Who needs them? You know what I'm saying? I
mean, at face value, you know, really.
Yeah. Who cares? Don't water a dead plant.
I know. I think I'm going to just get rid of Snapchat. Like, I don't even use it. Like, it's just an app on my phone that just takes up space.
I can promise you, man, I've had Snapchat for, if you want to count it, like a week in 7th grade. I got bullied out of it. Actually, no, it was more like 2 days because my 7th grade lover told me it'd be cool. So I got it. And then I was like, no, I'm not cool.
7th grade lover?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Dude, it was a good time. But
I bet it was. It was great. 7th grade love affair. God.
Oh, yeah. You know,
that was
talked a little
most talked awkward.
A little bit more. And that was about it.
Really?
Yeah.
He said, hey, what are you doing? Nothing. I'm on my phone.
What are you doing?
Me too.
Yeah. It used to be my one-liner back in 8th grade.
What?
Because this is before I understood social cues. So
yeah.
I actually looking back...
What do you mean before? I thought you still didn't.
I really don't.
It's not funny, like, Tony. It's not funny.
No, I mean, like, I thought he was socially inept, just period. Like,
no, every time he talks social vegetable.
Like, look, I'm not... I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm the greatest at taking hints. But this was back when I, like, didn't even know what hints were. Like, I just so blatantly oblivious to it, it wasn't even funny. Like, people would be genuinely trying to, like, talk to me, like, women, and then they'd be like, what are you doing? I'm, like, texting you, idiot. Like, what are you doing? There was this girl in 8th grade who wanted me to sit at her lunch table.
Yeah.
She's like, you should really sit next to me at my lunch table.
Okay.
I told her no.
You know why?
I'd love to hear why. I really want to hear because you're really having a hard time getting it out.
Dean had galactic Riz back in the day.
I had some game. No, I wanted to sit with my friend and play Crossy Road.
That was it? Yeah. That was it.
So that's what I chose to do. I wanted to sit with my friend and play Crossy Road. And so I said, "Nah, I'm not sitting at your table. You got weird people there. I want to play some games on my iPad with my friend." That's what I did.
You know what? I got to be honest. That kind of reminds me of a story of my own.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So there was this one time when I was in swimming. Like, I don't know. Like, is it a sport? I don't know. Is swimming a sport? Or is it like...
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just call it a sport.
For I the play sake. Swimming.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't sound stupid. Anyways. So when I was in the swim team. There we go. That's the right way to talk about it. When I was on the swim team.
You were on a swim team?
Yeah.
When?
In seventh grade.
Really?
Yeah. I was good at it. Oh, God. Kind of.
Tony with the breaststroke.
You know what? I got a picture of me. Because you had to take pictures for like the club or whatever. Yeah. The guys had to pose with their shirts off. So I got the picture of like slightly chunky me. No. With his shirt off and this freaking Speedo looking thing.
Gonna have to find that later. Oh,
I'm sure I have it. I probably have a picture of it on my phone because I thought it looked so stupid. I thought it was so stupid. But anyways, there was this group of girls that everybody on the swim team that was a guy thought was hot. And they were eighth graders. So, you know, they're infinitely superior to us measly seventh graders. And also the eighth grade boys that were on the swim team. Because they weren't popular. But anyways, these girls kind of were. And we were eating lunch one day, or like dinner, technically. And it was like, we had a pizza party for some friggin' reason. I don't know what the reason was. And I was sitting with the guys. I'm like, "You guys going to go over there and talk to them?" They're like, "No." I'm like, "I'm going to go over there and hang out and eat with them." And they're like, "No, you won't. You're a loser. You won't do that." And I went over there and I had lunch with them.
How'd it go?
Pretty good. I just remembered that story right now, and it's giving me a small rush of confidence. Because I told off the losers on the swim team.
Hold my beer.
Yeah, pretty much.
Dude, I remember.
Except it was hold my pizza, and I'm also in seventh grade with braces, and I look like an idiot.
But you
hell with it. Let's do it.
But you still did more than they did.
I know.
Dude, I remember I was in sixth grade.
And right? The only reason I did it was for clout. And I didn't even get any clout from it, so in my mind, it was actually a loss.
Dude, you got confidence.
Yeah, but I wanted them to, like, worship me when I got back, and they didn't say anything. I was so disappointed.
They were.
In their minds.
Yeah.
But I wanted the physical, you know, the physical. When they like do this
off mic, Tony is touching my face right now.
Yeah,
I remember in sixth grade, I had another lover in sixth grade.
Really?
Believe
you
it
were
not.
Like I had a swindler back.
I
in the
had
day.
Game.
I guess so.
And I was sitting out in the C1 Commons.
That's beautiful that you remember that.
C1 Commons. I was sitting out there.
I think I was in the D1 Commons.
Anybody who wasn't, you know, part of that school district has no idea what we're saying. But
doesn't
I was
matter.
Basically sitting outside of my classroom and. One of my lover's, one of her friends came out.
Oh, I'm interested.
And she goes, "Hey, do you want to hold her hand later?" And I said,
"She deployed her goon."
I said, "No." I'm like, "That's weird." I'm in sixth grade.
But
she goes, "Okay, I'm going to go tell her that you said, yeah." I'm like, no, don't do it. And then we held hands after class. Yeah, it was a quick little boop, boop. And that was it.
Wait, we're at the lockers?
No, outside. Like, we were walking out for, like, you know, three seconds.
You held my hand on the podcast last recording.
For longer than it was in sixth grade.
I got to be nice. It was good for me.
It was.
It was. So.
I enjoyed it, too. But, yeah, good times.
But, I don't know, I just thought it's going back to what you were saying about...
It was a nightmare.
Just approaching just a group of girls for no reason, just because, why not?
For clout.
Yeah, for clout. I heard this a while ago, and whether it's true or not, I think it's interesting. There's two fears that we're born with. I think number one is heights and the other one is death. I'm pretty sure those are the two that we're born with. Everything else is learned. You learn every other fear through your life. How through your life you learn to like fear approaching or fear like even spiders. Like you learn to fear spiders. You learn like to fear social things, or you learn to fear like, I don't know, getting struck by lightning.
True.
You learn to fear airplanes. Like, you learn all this stuff.
It's a learned behavior.
Yeah, so I almost find it interesting, based on how you raise kids. You know, some kids obviously come out more confident than others, and I think that's for a reason. I think it has to do even down to things like what shows you're exposed to as a kid, well, you know, what scenes are portrayed in that show, like social scenes and all that. I don't know. I've thought about it for a while. It's weird to me, but I think it kind of explains why some kids are so socially inept and some are, like, social butterflies.
So, Mr. Psychologist.
Jesus.
My question to you is that when I was a little kid, I was sat in front of the TV and force-fed horror and action movies. Now, how do you think that impacted me?
I don't know.
Me neither. Let's move on.
Okay.
Well, I can say lately I've been trying to step out of my comfort zone. So
sure.
Trying to just do things that I've been scared to do, or like say yes to social events that I normally would say no to. In real estate, we learned that if there's a for sale by owner sign in someone's front lawn, it is kind of like, in our eyes, it should be like a help wanted sign.
Mm-hmm.
So you can call and you can ask, but what we are kind of told to do in our branch is that we should go talk to the person. So knock on the door and have a conversation with a stranger, basically, about how we should be able to, you know, sell their house and all that. And that terrified me.
Yeah.
I was like, how am I going to go to someone's doorstep, a complete stranger, and say, hey, I can sell your home? But one popped up in our neighborhood. I'm like, crap, I got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it. Yeah. And I didn't get the listing.
Sure.
There was an agent down, two doors down, that sold the house there. So she got the listing there. I mean, no surprise. She kind of earned it there. But the big win for me was that I conquered that. Like, I stepped out of the comfort zone. I did what I thought was so scary, but it really actually wasn't. It was fine.
Mm-hmm.
It was a few minutes of an interaction, had a conversation with a stranger, walked away, and that was it. But just things like that.
Yeah.
Big boost of confidence, you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, and I feel that, you know. I've stepped out of my comfort zone quite a few times.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, most of it ended badly, or just did, was not a good feeling. But you know what? The more you do it, you feel better about it. So if something like, you know, that really bugs you and it's definitely out of your comfort zone, you're probably not going to feel good the first time. You're probably going to feel terrible. You're going to feel horrified. You're going to feel every bad feeling possible. But if you do it repeatedly,
yeah. It gets most better. Times, though, after you do that, those feelings kind of go away and you're left with a crap, I really just did that. And you feel good.
Depends on what it is.
That is true.
Depends on what it is.
That is true. Like, maybe doing hard drugs will leave you kind of sad, but...
That wasn't exactly my pitch, but...
we'll go with it.
We'll go with it, We should go with it. You know what else we should do? We should wrap it up.
We should. And what you guys should do is, in our survey, you should, in the comments box, say what you think Tony was going to say next.
Right.
But also fill out the survey.
Yeah.
We'll send out the survey through our Instagram, so you guys can take it. But as always, we appreciate your listen. This one was an interesting episode for sure. So we appreciate the listen. If you made it this far, you're a real one. We're bringing you to the top. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Adios.